Go Bears.
Yeah, go Bears.
You didn't watch it all.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I did. I watched the last 20 minutes. I wasn't going to, but I did.
I watched till the Star Wars trailer, and then I was finished.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I was...
Just play it and stop already.
Play what?
Oh, the first half. That's all they would say. Oh, coming up, you know?
A lot of people like Star Wars.
So all through the game, they kept teasing it would be the introduction.
They had stormtroopers walking around Soldier Field.
Didn't help.
They should have let them play.
Right.
I watched the first half, and I love Mitch Trubisky. He just seems like a great kid. He looks like he's 12. He is not the answer to the Bears winning.
Not currently. Not as of today's date, no. But down the road, you could certainly see with some seasoning.
Absolutely.
With some paprika, some marjoram.
I like cumin, quite honestly.
Cumin.
And then I saw the Star Wars trailer, and then I watched a little of the second half, and I was just disappointed in the Blackhawks loss. I was flipping back and forth.
I would say, you know, everybody had talked about how yesterday was going to be one of the biggest nights in Chicago sports, and it really, I mean...
Wish nobody mentioned it.
It was everywhere. So you had between the Cubs and the Washington Nationals,
which was
so exciting. Yeah,
Rizzo.
They won 2-1. Anthony Rizzo, a little bloop single between three Washington Nationals. Every pitch of that game was exciting. There was no downtime to that game. It was a roller coaster ride like crazy. I felt so bad for Kyle Schwarber. So bad. Did you saw what happened?
No,
with him,
I didn't watch.
A ball was hit to him. At this point, it was a 0-0 tie. Both pitchers just pitching out of their minds. Great. Max Scherzer, who pitches for the Washington Nationals, is one of the best in baseball and has two different color eyes. And I think he uses that to psych out his opponents, because that's all. If I was batting against him, like the whole time, I wouldn't be thinking about anything else other than the fact that his eyes are two different colors.
They are?
Yeah.
Like David Bowie.
Yes. Like David Bowie. Yes. So he's pitching great. Quintana's pitching great for the Cubs. And there's a ball hit out to Kyle Schwarber with two outs. That's not a routine fly ball, but certainly a catchable fly ball. And not only does he not catch it, but then he awkwardly hits the wall in left field and the ball trickles away. And then when he finally does catch up to it, it goes under his glove. And so he got two errors on the same play.
He sweeps it away with his mitt, yeah.
Which you rarely see.
Poor guy.
Poor guy is right. He felt, you could just see it in his face. Now, this came just moments after, because I was flipping around between that game and the Red Sox game. And over in Boston, there was a ball that was hit down the third base line and hit third base. And then the ball girl at Fenway went and scooped it up.
Uh-oh.
Which you cannot do.
Doesn't somebody school the ball girls?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
It's the playoff pressure, Wendy.
Right.
Poor little thing.
It hits everybody. The playoff pressure even hits the ball girls at Fenway. So
what happened?
Everybody at Fenway is looking at this girl, and she's just sitting there, and she's looking around, and she doesn't have a friend in the world because she just potentially could have cost the Red Sox a run, if not the game, if not the season. It ended up, you know, they lost it anyway. It had nothing to do with that. But I felt so bad for her. And then 2 minutes later, Kyle Schwarber, this happens with him in left field. And I love this guy. I love Kyle Schwarber. He's just he's a big lug, as we say in the comic books, Wendy.
Bam, bam, bam.
Bam. He looks like Bam Bam.
He does.
Grown up, he really does. So everybody in the stadium, they don't know what to do because we all love this guy. And yet that could be costly.
And then he's coming up to bat, and they lift him for a pinch hitter.
Yeah, they pull him for a pinch hitter.
Who batted in the winning run.
Yeah. Yeah, it ended well. And you could see it after the game. Everybody's coming up to him and hugging him. Joe Maddon gives him this giant bear hug and
even,
stuff.
You know, Bill, even at that inning when they were coming into the dugout, Rizzo waited for him before he went into the dugout, gave him a big hug on the field. And
isn't that nice? That
boy,
was just so nice.
So close.
All right, so you had that game, which was just an insane game. It's very rare for a team to have four errors in a game and two mistakes on the base path and still walk away with a win. It really is.
And Noah hits through, what, six?
Yeah, six and a third. I mean, not a single
hit.
We
have been in Chicago so unlucky with the Cubs for so many years that I think the Cubs are entitled to a little luck.
Yeah. It showed that the tide had changed because so many times for the last 106 years, 107 years, you see something like that and you go, we are not destined to win.
Well, and then Rizzo's game-winning RBI was a pop-up that landed between three people.
Yep.
I mean, it just was it was an easier ball than Schwarber missed, really. They just couldn't get to it.
Not just three people, but three people, including a center fielder who had made two spectacular catches to rob the Cubs of extra bases already. So it,
what
it
did
really...
Walter Matthau say when the Bad News Bears tried to catch that?
That's true.
Lupus.
He blamed Lupus, Kelly Leak, and Tanner Boyle.
Yeah. Tanner. Can I tell you something that, you know, I like to look at the weird part of sports.
Yes.
Although I've been paying attention a lot because I work with you and Steve Bertrand,
yes.
and I feel like I got to do a little homework so I can actually discuss sports with you.
Yes.
Jimmy Mack is loving the fact that I'm talking sports, but here's a little tidbit for you. Did you know that they have... Max Scherzer inspired M&Ms.
Do they really?
I swear to God, the Washington Nationals pitcher's left eye is brown, his right eye is blue. It's called heterochromia iridum. So the team created bags of only brown and blue M&Ms to match, and they have little K's printed on them.
That's outstanding.
That is hilarious. I felt bad for him too because he, you know, was pitching a no hitter, gives up one hit, gets pulled, and then watches the Nationals give up the lead.
So M&M's
not that bad. I didn't
has
feel that
a candy dedicated to Max Scherzer, and they're going to do a special edition Butterfinger for Kyle Schwarber.
That hurts.
You just said you felt sorry for him. How quickly the tide turns.
If a joke is there.
You got to grab it. I'd be cheating the world if I didn't grab it. So what an exciting game. All right, so then you have the Blackhawks, the 2-0 Blackhawks, who had outscored their opponents 15-2 going into last night's game.
They can't do that all season.
You can't do
Come
that
on.
All season. So they lost a tough one in overtime. And then there was the Bears.
Which, you know, as we got our safety and it was 2-0, I'm like, wouldn't that be a hoot if that's how the game ended?
Yes.
We win 2-0. That would have been really funny for me to say, but that didn't happen.
It ended up not happening.
Yeah.
They gave them a game. They gave them a close game. So there's credit points there. But as we have seen so often with the Bears, they came up just a little bit short. Just a little bit short. Now, in other Bears news...
Should we take a break and come back and discuss
yes.
it? Cleanse our palate?
In other Bears news, to cleanse our palate, a former coach of the Chicago Bears has said something...
Shut up.
All right. We'll discuss what Coach Ditka thinks and if he's right or wrong. That's coming up in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Speaking of sports, Wendy, the coach, that would be your Mike Ditka. And if you'll remember correctly, former Bear player, his own self.
Yep.
The last coach to win a championship for our Chicago Bears, or your Chicago Bears. I've disowned them.
Still have them.
They're your Chicago Bears. Said some very controversial things last night before the Bears and Vikings game. If you haven't heard it, I will share them with you now. Feel free to get either steamed or support him. Our number is 312-981-7200. He was being interviewed by Jim Gray on Westwood One.
Who's very gray now. It should be Jim
right,
very gray.
Right. Right. Jim prematurely gray. This is on Westwood One. This is just prior to last night's game between the Bears and the Vikings. And Jim Gray asked him the question that is on everybody's mind. If you have any knowledge of football right now, this is a major topic, and that's the protests, people kneeling during the national anthem, and the aftermath of it. So Mike Ditka then says this, "I don't see all the social injustice that some people see." The interview goes on, and then Mike Ditka says this, and again, I quote here, "There has been no oppression in the last 100 years that I know of." Now, maybe I'm not watching it as carefully as other people.
You don't even have to watch it to know that it's been...
It's kind of there. You have to live... Again, with all due respect to Coach Ditka, you have to live in a cave that goes very, very, very deep to not notice that there has been some oppression, and by some, I mean lots, over the last 100 years. I will use as an example every single day of the last 100 years where there has been oppression. I don't know how anybody could look at the world and say, as far as they know, there has been no oppression in the last 100 years.
Did he mean to say 100?
I don't know.
I mean,
have no
really,
idea.
Talking about speaking off the cuff.
I have no idea.
I can't figure that one out, Bill.
Mike Ditka then asked Jim Gray if this is the stage for this. If you want to protest, you have the right to do that. But I think if you're a professional athlete, you have an obligation to the game. Now, I can kind of see his point there. I kind of understand it. I don't know that I agree with it, but I kind of understand it. That if you're being paid to do something, that maybe the line there is, what am I being paid to do? Am I only being paid to play a game, or am I being paid to represent a team?
I'm kind of wishy-washy on that, I do sort of agree.
Right.
Wasn't there some discrimination when he played with the Bears? Wasn't that kind of the time they put Brian Song together?
I was just going to say, I wasn't a member of that Chicago Bears team, but watch Brian Song and see how the players were kind of divided over whether or not they should accept Gale Sears as a member of the team, because they were. And it still goes on to this day.
Yep.
It really does. I think if you have to respect the game, I think you have to respect the game. That's the most important thing. I don't see a lot of respect for the game. I see respect for their own individual opinions. Opinions are like noses. We all have one. I'm glad he went with noses because there's another option on that. Some are good and some are bad. I'm not condemning anybody or criticizing anybody. Respect the game. Play the game. When you want to protest, protest when the game is over. Football has been so good for these guys. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. He says a lot of things that make sense.
I agree with that, too, to have fun with it. And
it's a game. I mean, I know it's a career, but it's also a game. And part of what I love about almost any sport is when I see guys having a good time. I've said so many times that one of the joys to me with this Cubs season is the fake interviews after the home runs, the guys in the bullpen that are dancing around when the guy does hit a home run. I love seeing grown men enjoy themselves playing these games that we all dream about playing. We all want to be athletes. There's a part of almost all of us that go, wouldn't it be nice to be on a professional basketball court or tennis court or baseball diamond and do this for a living? We don't have the ability. They do. It's great to watch them have fun. But for anybody to look at the world and say, over the last 100 years, there's been no oppression, that's just out and out wrong.
And the Bears last night, after they made their touchdowns, were very giddy. In fact, I was watching that thinking, how old are you guys? Are you that surprised the Bears scored? I mean, they really were jumping around and going crazy like little kids on a Pop Warner team. Is that football?
Yeah, Pop Warner's football.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
That's excellent.
To get into this whole sports scene.
That's excellent.
But yeah, do you feel he misspoke? Is he...
Misspoke in that, He knew what the question meant, and, you know, I've heard a couple of people say, now keep in mind, Mike Ditka is 77 years old, right? And he comes from, again, I'm not using the Harvey Weinstein. I don't want to use the Harvey Weinstein excuse of the culture I was brought up in, this sort of thing was okay. But I understand where somebody who is a 77-year-old Mike Ditka could say, in my world, there's no... Well, how about the real world? Let's take a walk out into the real world where, believe me, there is oppression. How could you not see oppression every day over the last 100 years?
And he has been in the real world. He's been a football player. He's been around. It's not like he's just been, you know, working on a farm for all of his 70-some years.
Right.
So, I mean, come on. You get out somewhere, you see it.
And I was going to try to prove that there has been oppression. I don't need to prove it. If anyone's ever... read a newspaper, watched a news broadcast. You see, it exists. Walk around the world. I see it.
There was a very special blossom about it in the
80s. Of course there was, Steve. And they didn't do very special blossoms if it wasn't valid. They wouldn't
miss that show. She had great hats. Elizabeth wants to talk to us. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, this Ditka thing. He's a classic example of a white rich man who doesn't get it. He's never been there. He doesn't understand it. And at this point, he apparently doesn't want to understand it because, as you said, if he opened his eyes for 5 minutes, he'd see it.
Yep.
He probably doesn't think women have any issues either.
It's very upsetting, isn't it?
I do sound upset, don't I?
No, you should sound upset. This is a horrible, horrible thing to say, to ignore the oppression over the last 100 years. It's just horrible.
Right. And the fact that he can say it and be comfortable in saying it and not think that there's anything wrong with it just proves how badly he doesn't get it. You know, and what do you do? I mean, what do you do? I work on a race relations committee over in St. Joe Benton Harbor, and every single day I deal with people who don't get it. And it's so frustrating because all they have to do is have a finger's worth of empathy, but it's just not there. I don't know.
So, but what it shows, Elizabeth, is, and you know because you do this for a living, it's almost impossible to solve a problem if somebody's not willing to admit that that problem exists, right?
True enough. True enough. I guess all you can do is, and I fail at this miserably, but deal with them with love and compassion and try to understand where they're coming from and try to find some common ground.
You really just want to box their ears, don't you?
I absolutely do.
Thank you for calling, Elizabeth, and thanks for the work you do.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it either. I mean, every once in a while you encounter somebody who just seems like they don't know that something so obvious exists. And to say something like there's been no oppression over the last 100 years, there's oppression every minute of every day over the last 100 years. There's not a single time that there was no oppression. I wish he was right, but he's not right. It's as impossible as can be to be right about this. It's just impossible.
So is he going to come back and retract it?
I don't know. I wonder. You know, it's very much in vogue now, Wendy, to double down on things. That's what people do now, is they double down on things. So let's see if he doubles down on it.
Well, first you apologize, and then you come back and go to your original statement.
That's the 1-2 punch. Let's wait and see. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's more to discuss. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. Let me quickly catch you up if you're just joining us. Last night, Jim Gray spoke with the coach, Mike Ditka, former coach of the Chicago Bears. This was on Westwood One Radio, again, just prior to last night's Monday Night Football game between the Vikings and the Bears. And Jim Gray asked him the question about what's been going on around football this season, and that's players and sometimes coaches and sometimes owners kneeling or not responding to the national anthem. Mike Ditka said these are his words exactly. I don't see all the social injustice that some of these people see. There has been no oppression in the last 100 years that I know of. Now, maybe I'm not watching it as carefully as other people. Slight disclaimer at the end. But again, the golden words here. There has been no oppression in the last 100 years that I know of. Slightly troubling, to say the least. What are your thoughts? We're at 312-981-7200.
Here's Patrick. Hi, Patrick. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think that, again, there's an overreaction to what's happening here. Everybody's life, everybody's opinions, everybody's perceptions are shaped by the way they have lived and grown up and whatever they're doing in their life, the things that are most important to them. When the coach sits there and says, in the last 100 years, I don't know of any oppression, you know, this man has been in one sport, in one job, all his life, since he was in Pop Warner League football. That's all he knows. That's what he wants to know. That he's not a politician. He's not a minister, a reverend. He's not any of those things. And his goal is to win. That's what he wants to do. And when in his realm of life, it didn't matter if you were white, green, black, purple, blue, if you were what religion you believed in or anything, if you were the player that helped that team win or helped him be on a team that won, it didn't matter to him. None of that mattered. And I think that everybody needs to remember that we are all shaped by the life we live and the perceptions of what we see and what we try to achieve. And no doubt there is oppression. There needs to be demonstrations. I think that's one of the pillars of our society and everything else. However, I think when it comes to what they were asking him about, what do you think about these people, coach, kneeling down at the national anthem, I think you have a very loyal, very patriotic American who sees things from one position and says, well, that's our flag, love it or leave it type of situation, the way he was brought up. And these guys, whether they're black or white, doesn't mean a thing to him. He just thinks they should be respecting the flag, because if he was coaching them and they were doing well and they were winning, that's all that would count. And I just think that's important to remember.
Patrick,
instead of going off on that, I was
it. It is important to remember, but if he's 77 years old, that meant that in his lifetime as a boy, he saw the change in Major League Baseball in 1947. They didn't allow black people to play Major League Baseball until Jackie Robinson in 1947. He experienced that in his lifetime. He had to know that was going on.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Bill, but I mean, 100 years, when he said 100 years, I think that the coach embellishes a lot of things. He probably, that was the first thing he could have said, well, in the last 20, 30 years or something like that. But I think he threw that in. Not for any other reason that was the first thing that came to his mind when in the last 100 years, okay?
Yeah.
I might agree with that. That he just whipped out a number, but it turns out not to be a good number.
And you know, and everybody has a right to, I wouldn't say a right, but I mean everybody has a right to demonstrate or believe in what they believe in, as long as they're not harming or doing anything to anyone else. And protesting, like I said, that's a very important thing to do, but I think there's certain things that in the coach's life, he doesn't experience that. I mean, he just is like, hey, I don't care what you are. If you're a great football player, God bless you. You helped me win the Super Bowl and everything else. And I think that's maybe what didn't come across in the interview.
All right.
I mean, I heard that.
I'm anxious to see if he has a follow-up to explain that. But, Patrick, we sure appreciate your call.
Thanks so much, guys.
Somebody texted us, Bill, what exactly does oppression mean? So just to clarify things, oppression is when a person or group in a position of power controls the less powerful in cruel and unfair ways. So once you know that, that can't be an accurate statement.
I
know.
Because on a daily basis, there's oppression toward women. There's oppression toward minorities. There's oppression toward white people. There's oppression toward short people, fat people, tall people. There is nobody on the planet that there's no oppression towards. So to say it, you can't even say it hasn't existed over the last 5 seconds. There's been oppression every second of every day for the last 100 years plus, forever.
I could just, you know, I might agree with, you know, he just whipped out the 100. Like, you know, I haven't done this in 100 years. It's a saying, whatever. Yeah. But boy, I'm just anxious to hear what his take will be because he has to address this.
I would.
Don't you think? What did Jim Gray do?
I don't know what he did. I've read the accounts. I wasn't listening to Westwood One Radio last night. I've only read the accounts. So, you know, people said of him, of Jim Gray, was that his job to try to trap the coach? I don't think he was trapping the coach. He was asking him a question about the culture of what's going on in the world of the NFL right now. And he is a well-respected former player and former coach. So
and someone said, what are you doing asking him about this? But as you mentioned, he's a fine person to ask about
all
this.
He's one of the best people to ask about this. That's one of the first guys. If somebody said, have a panel of 10 people that you should ask this question of, he'd be on that panel. He's been around the game his whole life, either as a player or as a coach.
He won't be on that panel again, I don't think.
I wonder what happens now. All right, we'll take a break. Bridget Carey joins us from CNET in just a little bit. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It is a Tech Tuesday, Bill, and you are going to be proud to know that you are ahead of the curve, and rarely does that happen in the tech world.
Hardly ever happens.
Bridget Carey on the line with us, senior editor at CNET.com, and Bridget, all of a sudden, Bill looks really cool because he got rid of his Windows phone.
Yeah, good news, Bill. You're ahead of the game.
Wow, that has never happened once. So how did that happen? What took place?
Well, over the weekend, Microsoft pretty much admitted that the Windows Phone is dead. As if, like, I had friends tell me they didn't even know Windows Phone was still around. Hmm. But one of the executives in charge said that they will no longer make any software features for it or any more handsets. And there are some third-party companies that were making Windows phones like HP, and they last week announced they weren't going to make any more of their phone. It's just one of those things where Microsoft is trying to focus instead on making apps for Androids and iPhones that can connect to your Windows PC. But as far as an actual Windows-specific operating system on your phone, that's not their focus anymore.
Those days are done. So if somebody does still have it, and I think I may last person to have still had it, but if somebody still does, will it still continue to operate or not at all?
Yeah, that's a good point. It'll still work, and Microsoft will still, this is a good thing, send out patches if there are any security bugs. So at least you know the phone system will still be secure if you want to hang on to it for a little while. For the most part, the biggest challenge they face is that they just didn't have the apps. The executives on Twitter were saying they did so much. They were paying developers. They were trying to write the apps themselves, but companies in the end didn't see it as worth the investment when so few people had.
No. All right.
Bridget, I'm going to ask this question because I am dying to know the answer, and I bet you are too. Bill, when you got rid of your Windows phone, what did you do with it? Did they take it back, or is it in a drawer somewhere?
No, it's in a drawer. They didn't. They didn't. Why do they usually take them back?
No,
they didn't want to take it
back.
Well,
if you have a phone that's popular, you get paid for it. If you
really
would give you any money for a Windows phone, yeah.
No, I put it in a drawer, and as I'm saying it, I don't know why. What's gonna? There's never gonna be a time where it comes back into vogue. So I.
It totally will.
Really?
Oh,
all right.
Give it 10 years. You're gonna have a collector.
Yeah. Right? All right. I'll save it.
Well, you know, all of a sudden, cell phone collectors will want to display it in a museum somewhere.
Sure. All right. I'll save it.
I was just in a conversation with someone about what a collector item is now is those AOL discs that
yes.
got in the mail.
That's
actually a big collector.
That's so funny. We had talked about on this show Google sending giant balloons to Puerto Rico to deliver internet by air, part of their Project Loon, which is such a great idea. We had talked about this before. Speaking of Puerto Rico, Mark Zuckerberg is a bit in trouble. Explain this.
Oh, yeah. Count on a billionaire to be tone deaf and out of touch. What he did the other day was he broadcasted a live video showing off their virtual reality software called Facebook Spaces. And in Facebook Spaces, you appear as a cartoon character behind actual footage. And so they took some actual video footage of the hurricane-ravaged Puerto Rico with flooded streets. And if you picture it in your head, here's flooded streets and a big cartoon version of Mark Zuckerberg and his colleague, who's also working on the social stuff, going, it's magical how you can actually feel like you're here. They use the word magical.
Hmm.
And then it's like we're in the same place. We can even high-five. And they're high-fiving cartoon versions of themselves next to, like, destroyed homes. And it feels like we're really here in Puerto Rico. So they just were completely tone deaf. He then went on to say how Facebook is donating to help relief efforts. And then awkwardly, he goes, where else can we go? And the person he was standing next to giggles and goes, well, maybe California. And
all the wildfires going on there now.
Poof, they just kind of fly away to somewhere that's less depressing. And it just felt like, oh, my gosh.
Here's an idea.
You guys don't get it.
Make yourself pop in on top of Niagara Falls or on the Empire State Building or on the Statue of Liberty's tablet. Wouldn't that be a better way to promote this?
They flew to the moon in this demo afterwards, but it was a matter of feeling like people are really suffering, and did they just use this to kind of exploit their own thing? Facebook has a big virtual reality conference going on later today where they're going to talk about all the reasons why you should buy a big hunky headset for your face. and so that's kind of the reason for the timing of this. But, yeah, when they sometimes have a little bit of trouble awkwardly talking about a serious issue while trying to also talk about how cool it is to magically feel that, like, you're there. You know?
So with a guy like him who is – he's a genius, right? And he gives so much money. He donates so much to causes around the globe. Was it just a lapse of good taste? What do you attribute this to?
It's a lapse of knowing how to talk right when you're, you know, and like he talked about how, you know, it's hard to get down there, and this is a way for storytelling to understand things more, and we're doing relief efforts with the Red Cross. Okay, so he starts talking about how Facebook's doing this and Facebook's doing that to help them. And wow, it's like you're really standing there in front of the flooded street. Okay, it's good as a news tool, but maybe this was the wrong time
sure.
to talk about how great your service is for doing this while not having prepared a script and kind of giggling about how, okay, let's go fly off to California. Like, oh, how convenient for you to fly off.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. And he hasn't apologized as of yet, huh?
No, I mean, this really just comes down to, like, image.
Yeah.
And so people, on one hand, with the comments, this was a live broadcast, on the comments, people were like, oh, this is a great tool. And the other half of the comments were, I can't believe you're using this to promote a product.
Right.
So that it's not some, like, he's going to be speaking later today at his massive Oculus conference.
And his first words, I'm sorry.
Maybe.
Well, how many I'm sorry's is he going to do? It's I'm sorry about Russian ads. I'm sorry about politics.
Yeah.
It's sorry all the time. We just this is the problem with Silicon Valley companies. They just don't seem like they get it.
Let's end with good news. How about a robot pet dog? Can I have a robot pet dog?
Yay, robot dogs.
Our prayers have been answered, Bridget.
You don't have to walk them, Bill. It's pretty
right.
awesome.
Right.
Yeah, technology has some good uses, right? Okay, so Sony back in the day, had this robot pet dog. It wasn't called Fido. It was like Aibo or Aibo, like A-I-B-O. And it went away because it wasn't popular. But now Sony's saying, we're going to make our robot dogs again in the sense that they could be your home assistants, much like how Amazon has these speakers with Alexa. Imagine you had, instead of a speaker, just a little roving robot dog be your virtual assistant friend. So it's like a more cute version of what everyone's trying to do now, which is have a home assistant of sorts.
And Bridget, as is always the case, whenever we talk about robots, there's a small chance that they could enslave us and take over the world, but nothing we need to focus on, correct?
At least this is a kickable size.
Right.
Like, this is something I can still kick around if it gets unruly, but I think it's a cute concept that, you know, normally a pet dog can go fetch you the newspaper. This one would just fetch you the headline.
Nice.
You know?
Excellent.
Got to teach it to fetch me a margarita or something, or make one. Oh, that'd be good. And your Teddy Ruxpin thing is awesome. I checked it out, and if people are a fan of Teddy Ruxpin, how do they check out your fine work?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I did a little bit of the history of that crazy little bear. It's cnet.com/Teddy-Ruxpin.
Perfect. We'll find you at cnet.com. And until next week, thank you so much. She's Bridget Carey.
Thanks, Bridget.
Thanks.
Teddy Ruxpin, of course, being the second crazy little bear we've talked about on today's show. All right, let's take a quick break. We've got news and then a lot more coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder with you. We're at 312-981-7200. Call us there or text us there. Wendy, I wanted to surprise you with something, and I'm going to surprise you with something, but before I think of this...
Strippers?
No, not strippers. No. Before I mention this that I think will surprise you, I want to mention something else that I think will surprise you. I know you haven't been watching the Cubs playoff games, have you?
Nope.
All right. So you may not be privy to this, so I thought I'd share this with you now, because I only learned this through watching the last few Cubs games, because they keep promoting this during the Cubs games, and every time they promote it, I get very, very excited. The return of one of my favorite game shows, and I hope one of your favorite game shows too, is coming in just 2 weeks. I had no idea the show was coming back to television, but I'm thrilled that it is.
What's My Line?
It is not What's My Line. I'll tell you who the host was. Jack Barry was the host of this show. Does that help at all?
Nope.
Now, as I'm saying it, I'm realizing... You may not have even watched this show, but I never used to miss this when I was a kid. I love this show.
I know on your driver's license, you're a couple months younger than I am.
Yes, I am. But it's like, but it's
mentally,
almost like a generation.
You
isn't it?
Are
it's more like a generation.
Living in a center.
All right. I will give you a line from the show. It'll be very, very easy once I give you the line. Joker.
Joker's Wild.
Joker's Wild is coming back in 2 weeks to TBS television with a very unlikely host. Somebody that I never in a million years would have thought would be hosting a game show. And I've seen Alec Baldwin host a game show. So anything can happen in the world of game show hosts.
Give me a hint on who the host is.
Male
or female?
Male.
Most
known from the world of music.
Adam Levine.
It is not Adam Levine or Levine.
He's busy anyway. Bruce Springsteen.
It is not. Wouldn't that be an interesting show to have Bruce Springsteen hosting Joker's Wild?
Steven Van Zandt, because he would be even better.
He would be fun, too. No? Are you ready? Snoop Dogg will be the host of the new Joker's Wild on TBS starting in 2 weeks.
Should be called Joker's High.
Well, you know what's funny? They show clips from it. Now, on the old Joker's Wild, there was a thing because the three wheels would spin and you'd hope to get three Jokers, but sometimes dollar amounts would come up. So they show one where, and he goes, Snoop Dogg is narrating it, and he goes, 420, 420, that's my favorite number.
Oh, it's so that's going to get old, like,
I
in
know.
10 seconds.
You can't do just marijuana jokes on a game show, can you? I don't think you can. So that's in 2 weeks.
I don't know if I watched it that
Did
much.
Did you never watch it? It was syndicated, and it was on at night. The first version, I think, was on in the daytime, but then they moved it to syndication with Jack Barry, and I used to watch it at night. I think it's 6:30 on Channel 32.
I watched it, but it wasn't like I was completely...
No, it was so good.
Into it.
And that's
it.
Without Snoop Dogg. Imagine this. Who, by the way, every time I see him, I say to myself, he's got to be 10 to 15 years older than me. He's got to be. And as it turns out, he's about 10 or 15 years younger than me. I don't know what it is about him. He just plays a lot older. And lazier. He just seems like he just finished smoking and he just needs to rest, you know, always.
Didn't Bill Cullen host it?
Bill Cullen may have hosted the network version of it, but then Jack Barry did it in syndication. That's where I used to watch it all the time. But yeah, Bill Cullen probably hosted. Bill Cullen hosted everything in the 60s.
He was the Tom Bergeron of then.
Yes. He was the first Tom Bergeron. Yeah. All right. Now, the other thing I wanted to surprise you with. This week, the second week in October, is the worst week for lice out of the whole year. Why would that be? There is a reason, according to Huffington Post. The second week in October is the worst week for lice of
Halloween
the entire
costumes.
Year.
Halloween costumes.
You nailed it.
Because everyone's there
trying
stuff
them
out.
On. Yeah, if you go to any of those pop-up Halloween stores, you know, those places that were an Amblin's Flower World until 10 years ago.
Right.
And now it's the Haunted Hideaway. People go in, they try on Halloween costumes the first and second week in October. Some of them may have a problem with head lice. And now guess what? You tried on a costume, you also have a problem with head lice.
You know, when I was in school, there were maybe, you'd hear one kid had it because they'd be out for a couple of days and you'd be like, where's so-and-so? Oh, well, they had lice and there were a lot of kids in the family, so they had to spread it around.
Yep.
And you felt bad for them, but it was like, honestly, one out of hundreds of kids, so you didn't think about it.
Right.
Until your kid gets it, and then all of a sudden, it is the worst thing on earth.
Yes.
And we
yes.
got it, like, on the way to Disney.
Yes.
And
That's
it was
a fun vacation.
Disney on Lice is
yes.
what we call it. But
yes.
I'm telling you, Dylan was itching so much, and we went to the nurse's station at Disney World, and Minnie Mouse was there in her nurse's outfit.
Oh, was she?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was not surprised. I'm telling you, I was embarrassed. I was like, oh, my God, I'm a terrible mother. I'm a bad housekeeper. And the lady was like, oh, my God.
They've seen it all.
We've seen like 20 cases in the last hour.
Right.
You know, go back to your hotel. They have a pre-printed form as to where to get the lice medication from.
Yeah.
But you got to see, people think you just put that RID on or there are some natural holistic ones where you're not using chemicals and you think you do it once. And they're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to, like, comb through it with, like, a little tiny fine-tooth thing.
It's awful, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
It was a nightmare. I had dreams about them afterwards.
And then even when you do get rid of them, you're still kind of itchy.
Yes,
just from,
I still am, and this was years ago. God, don't let your kids try on. First of all, don't leave your house if you have lice. I guess we did. We didn't know it.
Yeah, there's always a period, I guess, where you're not quite sure yet. I remember sitting at a softball game. Both Reese and Kylie were on the same softball team when they were in grade school. And one of the moms said, it was almost all moms and me, you know. And one of the moms says, boy, we don't know what to do. Her daughter, she's had head lice twice this year. And we just found out she has them again.
And she's there playing?
Yeah, and the worst part is every kid puts on the same helmet. Every team has three or four helmets. So when one kid's not wearing it, another kid puts it on. So within a week, every kid on the team had head lice. Thanks.
Okay.
I know.
I didn't go out of the house for a while until I made sure.
I know.
And the nurse at school was so funny because she had these like chopsticks and she would go through their hair and look and they'd do like random lice checks. Well, it was really funny.
You know that phrase nitpicking?
Yeah,
oh, I hate to be a nitpicker, but that's what it's from.
That's
it emanates
what you're doing.
From that. From going through with almost like chopsticks and trying to find them one by one and take them out of your hair. Ah, not good.
Why don't they make, you know, when you try shoes on, they have those little fake socks.
Yeah.
And they've gotten so cheap now that they just take nylons and cut off a little tiny bit of them. They used to be all seamed and in great shape. Peds, we used to call them.
Right.
Why don't they have some kind of plastic shower cap in a box so you can put that on before you try the costume hat on?
I think that's what ladies in every high school cafeteria have been wearing for 50 years.
But that's for style.
Right. That's to look good.
This would be for safety.
Hubba hubba, Mrs. Andrews. Looking good. It says, if you're scratching your head trying to find the perfect Halloween costume, David Moy over at Huffington Post, it may be your costume that's making you itch from head lice. Doctors usually see a jump in head lice this time of year, second week in October, although many people associate it with the start of the school year. The real cause could be even scarier. That's Halloween costumes. Cheryl Sexton, a nurse practitioner in Ohio, says trying on Halloween costumes is a real bugaboo. That's the first time I've ever said bugaboo in mixed company. It felt good. Yeah, with the guys. It's locker room talk. We always say it, but not with girls around. We have a lot of people going in stores right now trying on masks and trying on costumes, trying on wigs, Sexton told a Toledo station. A lot of people don't give much thought to the fact that several people could have tried them on before. Sexton has solutions for some. Should we take a break and I'll show you? I'll help you not have head lice.
Somebody says, will you please stop talking about head lice? I'm driving right now and all I can do is scratch my head.
No, sorry about
that.
Please stop. Sorry about that. All right. More of this. We'll say it quieter for people who are upset about it. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. How appropriate. Although I thought you were going to go with Thompson Twins. Lice, 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 yeah. That's what I thought you were going with.
That would have been better.
Turns out this week, the second week in October, is the worst week for lice of the entire year. Kids are back in school. That's one reason. But the bigger reason is a lot of people are going to Halloween shops and trying on costumes that have already been tried on with by people who have head lice. Ugh. Never. These are some tips, according to Sherry
Don't
Sexton.
Don't leave your house.
Right. Stay inside. Cover yourself in bubble wrap and stay inside. She is a nurse practitioner in Oregon, Ohio. She gives you these helpful hints to prevent you from getting head lice. Never try on a mask in a store without wearing a bathing cap over your hair.
Okay. First
no
of
one,
all.
No one will make fun of you if you walk around the store with a bathing cap on, will they?
Listen, you haven't had long hair like, you know, below the shoulders ever, did you?
No.
I know you had a curly perm.
Yes. And I'm getting another one, by the way, for your birthday. That's your birthday present.
You know, history repeats. Yeah. Fashion does.
I want to look like the guy from Greatest American Hero.
Believe it or not.
I want to look like William Cott.
When you try to put a bathing cap on dry, long hair, it hurts like hell.
It does, right? It would have to.
Get one of those, like, surgeon things.
Yeah.
Bathing cap. Who is this woman?
Sherry Sexton. She's a nurse practitioner, Wendy. She also says this. Put your new costume into a tightly sealed bag for at least 48 hours before wearing it. That will kill off any lice that may be on it.
Okay, that's fine for adults, but you know, when a kid gets a costume, what do they want to do?
Put it on immediately.
Oh, my God, and wear it for 2 weeks so it's all ripped and stained before Halloween even happens.
Right. That's right.
48 hours, kids.
That's standard. Here's another helpful hint to prevent you from getting head lice. Throw dryer-friendly costumes into a dryer for 45 minutes before wearing them. So the heat, I'm guessing,
would take
care of the head lice. Yeah.
Yeah, but everything's polyester. It's going to explode.
Oh, yeah, that's true, isn't it? Well, that's why she says dryer-friendly.
There is no dryer-friendly costume. I'm positive.
No, because of what they're made out of, you can't dry them, right?
Like, see what it says on the label when you get your sexy Rick, Sheriff Rick from Walking Dead costume.
That was a secret. That was supposed to be.
Sorry.
You ruined the secret.
I'm sorry.
Now everybody knows. Now, forgive me for not knowing this. I know that I'm going to sound idiotic in saying this, but I honestly don't know the answer to this. Is there a difference?
I'm stopping myself because I know how
stupid this sounds.
I got to hear it.
I honestly don't know the answer to this. I'm not making it up. Is there a difference between lice and head lice? Because I hear people say sometimes they'll just say head lice and sometimes they'll say lice, but lice don't know if they've been assigned to your head or not.
Well, there's head lice and there's down there lice.
Down there lice.
Well, they're called crabs.
Oh, those I've heard of. Yeah.
But there's spotty lice.
Yeah. All right.
Some prefer the long, lengthy mane that Fabio has.
But lice don't get like a job assignment, right? They don't walk around going, I applied to be head lice. And they said, no. They said, I'm not ready. I got to be a down there lice.
It depends what sex you are in order to answer this question. But if I was a louse.
A louse?
That's a singular lice.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
How old are you?
I just
you got
them
double
together.
Promoted.
Yeah.
And you don't know a louse is a single.
I didn't know. I thought lice only traveled in groups, large groups. You never hear about just one. No families ever go, I can't send my kid to school. He's got a louse.
There's a louse in my house. You never.
It's my favorite Dr. Seuss book. That's the first Dr. Seuss book to get rejected. Sorry, Theodore. Not this time. This book sucks.
All right, depending on your interests, let's say, will vary on how you answer this question. But if I was a louse, I'd rather be on someone's head.
Oh, yeah, the view. You get a better view. You're right. You're riding in the penthouse? It's way better than being a down there louse.
Down there louse. Yeah. Was that another Dr. Seuss?
Yeah, that also did not. Yeah, that was the sequel. Rejected. All right. So again, it's easy. Don't try on masks in stores unless you have a bathing cap on. Put your costume in a sealed bag for 48 hours before using it. But that's provided you've bought it. They're not going to let you, before you try one on, you can't put one in a bag.
No, but you know, like those rubber masks that went, what was that movie where they all wore the president's masks?
Oh, yeah.
For the robbery.
Bank heist?
Yeah.
I don't remember what movie.
All right, but you know those masks I speak of?
Yeah.
I would never buy one of those because... Because someone's had, they've been breathing their breath juice all through the nostrils and stuff.
Right. Do you ever see in a store that sells like kazoos or something? You'll see a kid just pick up a kazoo, go, and just put it back in the pile and walk away.
That's why you need things individually wrapped.
Right. I'm just trying to remember the last time I went kazoo shopping. My whole experience was ruined because of that kid. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. Jen Lancaster joins us.
Oh,
one
I
of
love
our favorite
authors.
Yeah, she'll be by right after the news. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
For a minute, that reminded me of Christmas. And a great stocking stuffer would be the new book by Jen Lancaster, The Gatekeepers. How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to see you guys.
This is how many books for you?
This is number 15.
Did we have you on for the first one?
No, not the
first
one.
The first one was back in 2006. I saw you guys last year, and in the interim, I actually put out a self-published memoir because I didn't want this young adult book coming out with people filling my Amazon comments saying, why aren't you writing memoir now? So I had a ton of stories. My agent was on maternity leave, so I thought, I'm just going to do this thing myself. I sold more copies of this self-published thing that, let me say this, was not copy edited well. I've since fixed it. Yeah. More copies of that than anything else I have ever
done.
All right,
so why would that be? What do you think was behind that?
I think people really want stories of me being drunk in a pool, honest to God. So I have written this really, really serious story. And at this point, I feel a little bit like Jim Carrey after he made the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
And people kept saying to him, why don't you talk out of your butt again?
Right.
Yeah, why don't I do that?
Well, you've been on with us several times. I know that, and I've been truly enjoying your Facebook Live posts.
Thank you.
Most recently, and you can follow her, jenlancaster.com is her website. You're on all social media. Your Facebook Live most recently was about a teenage kid who was on his bicycle and appeared to be drunk.
Oh, he was absolutely...
Take it from there.
I know what drunk looks like. Mm-hmm. I am very...
Been there, done that?
Class looks like. I know what drunk in a pool looks like. Mm-hmm. I was on my way to go buy loafers, and it was 2:15 in the afternoon, and I had been getting some pushback from the community saying, no, things don't happen here. Like, okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know that many people. And I stopped at my driveway. This kid went whipping past my driveway. Didn't even notice my car there. And it's big. I mean, it's a big SUV. And it scared me. And I watched him turn the corner, throw his bike down. And I thought, did I somehow wing him? Did something happen?
Yeah.
And then just take a leak all over the sidewalk in the middle of Lake Forest, which... Actually, I've done work with the Citizens Police Academy. That is not illegal. So, if you're looking for weekend plans.
It isn't? I mean, during the day?
Public urination is not illegal.
Is it encouraged?
I don't
think so. Probably not encouraged, but not illegal.
I don't think so.
All right.
So then I followed this kid because now he scared me because I thought I was going to kill him. And then he's peeing on the street. And I'm like, what is going on? So I pulled up to him on a street a few blocks down. And... He was clearly drunk.
Yeah.
He was clearly drunk. And then he headed down the street to one of the $4 million houses on the block. I don't know which one. And everyone on Facebook was saying, you should call the police. You should call DCFS. Like, I don't know if he lives there.
That's not really your job either, is it?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know the right thing.
So at some point, some of what he was doing had to be illegal. If not exposing himself, if not urinating in a public place.
That's not illegal in Lake Forest,
evidently. No, that's what I'm hearing. But something...
I thought that was.
Driving a vehicle, is a bicycle a vehicle?
I think so.
While intoxicated? Well, that's got to be illegal.
Like I said, my husband and I took this citizens policing course, and it took me a few months not to go around wanting to make citizens arrests.
Of course.
I mean, I see crime everywhere, and I'm going to solve it. So I didn't know what to do about this kid.
I feel sorry for the kid. I'm sorry.
He seemed pretty happy.
Do you know exactly where he lives? Do you know which house is his?
It's one of 10, and he might have just been going to see a friend.
Oh,
so
that's
I don't
true
know.
Too.
I mean,
maybe he was going to his therapist's appointment.
Maybe.
Well, I always like to look at the glasses half full.
Yeah.
Maybe he had been drinking Wild Turkey and he'd switched to light beer. So this is a step. I don't know.
If you
I don't
knew
know
who his parents were, would you confront them and say that you would have?
Yeah. Yes, 100%.
What do you say? I'm just curious.
I think I would probably tell them to do like one of the test kits, like have your kid pee on this stick.
Yes. Do it out in public where it's legal.
Well, he has no problem with that.
Right, obviously not.
But see, now, and as the parent of two kids, I try every day to do the best that I can. And I have a lot of nosy neighbors that we have a little lookout thing. So they all watch and we do share information. But at some point, if this kid truly has a problem, the parents may very well be aware of it.
Right.
And then wouldn't they look at you and go, mind your own business, lady?
I think so. I think I think the North Shore is very much like that. They like to keep things on the down low.
Right, under the
rug.
And
that's something that I saw.
I saw Ordinary People. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, 100%.
That's
what was interesting, when I was doing the ride-alongs with the police officers this spring, they were telling me how many parents on the North Shore stock Narcan. And that's what you give your kid when they're overdosing on heroin.
Yeah.
And the reason the parents keep it, not only to save their kids' lives, but also to keep them out of the system.
Hmm.
Which is kind of shocking.
I gotta say, it's to save their life first and foremost.
I hope.
I mean, I thank God no one in my family has a heroin addiction, but I know so many people whose kids do and family members. And I mean, if you have the magic pill to save the life of your child or husband or brother, you're gonna do it.
And the face of the new heroin user is young and white and suburban, especially now, because you can do it in any form.
Right.
And these kids are getting sports injuries. They are being prescribed opioids. They're getting hooked on those. And then when they run out, it's easier to to go a few miles up the road and get actual heroin. And from what
I
understand,
it is to get
cheaper beer.
Exactly, they can't get alcohol.
Exactly,
that's a sad society, isn't it?
Right. So what I wanted to do is really look at this and figure out what it is that I could do to help.
Right.
And we'll see how it's received, because it could just be people want more stories about my dogs.
It could be.
I don't know.
It could be. But you run the risk, should you confront the parents. You could get some parents who say, thank you for letting us know this. I have two kids. If my kids were doing something bad and somebody came and told me, I'd be thrilled. I'd be so happy that they took the initiative to do that. But then you also run the risk of them saying, this is our kid. This is our business. Thanks.
I've also lived in this house for 7 years and met like two neighbors out of the entire town. So it's not like people were lining up to bring us cookies and wine when we first moved in. And I can't imagine that this would help, but I don't think that it matters.
Maybe,
But it was very strange.
Wow.
Well, this the gatekeepers is...
Number 15.
I can't believe it's number 15.
Number 15.
But this is kind of the gist of all of the gatekeepers as well, correct?
Right. I am the world's biggest John Hughes fan. I even bought my house in Lake Forest because I wanted to be where he was inspired. So I always think about what he would think about the world today.
Yeah.
And for the first few years that I lived up in Lake Forest, I thought, these are the luckiest kids in the world. They have everything. I mean, because I see them living my life at 13.
Right.
Going to my personal trainer. I mean, the 16-year-old kids driving my car, except they got theirs new and not certified pre-owned. So I thought, these are the luckiest kids in the world. And then we had a suicide cluster in 2012, and that really opened my eyes that things are not as good as it seems. These kids are under so much pressure to achieve. And that wasn't anything I ever faced. I'm from Huntington, Indiana.
Yeah.
We had to close leaving the parking lot at lunch because too many girls got pregnant.
Oh.
There were 40 girls my senior year who had babies. There were entire husbands and wives at my school. So
and they narrowed it down to a parking lot?
Well, kids were leaving at lunch.
Oh.
We didn't have a lot of drive-through restaurants.
I thought you meant that the babies were being conceived in the parking lot. I got very nervous.
Well, maybe they were after we weren't allowed to leave. So I do not come from a place where the bar was set very high. So I took this incident and I really started to think of how John Hughes would see the world today. And I took the archetypes from The Breakfast Club and I put them into modern day to see where I thought that they would take themselves. And the conceit of everything he ever did, I mean, for teens, was that you're not alone. Everyone is going through something. And the only way to get through it is together. So that is what I did with these characters. And I'm really, really proud of it. And I hope people want to know more than just what's happening with my husband's beard, which is great right now. It's very full.
This is genius, Jen. And here's why. When we lost John Hughes a couple years ago, I thought to myself, somebody's going to pick up the mantle. He's really established a very nice world. Somebody's going to pick that up, and nobody did until you.
So, I hope so.
Good.
I hope so. I mean, I fell in love with these kids. I want to do more with them. I want them to be real.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, we'll see what the market dictates, honestly.
Quick break, and we're back with Jen Lancaster. You can go to jenlancaster.com. That's her website. The Gatekeepers is the new novel we're talking about. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720. WGN.
It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Jen Lancaster. She's written another book, number 15, if you're keeping track. This one's called The Gatekeepers. It's available wherever books are sold. Please elaborate on something you told Wendy and me during a break. When you're writing YA, young adult, they're very, very, very careful on the tone that you use in these books. They don't want to upset teenage readers, correct?
Right. This is something that was very strange for me because I'm used to working without a filter. And I'm Generation
really?
X.
I never
so
knew
we're
that.
Not, yeah. So we're not the most politically correct people there are. That's good or bad, I don't know. But there were so many different times during this process that I had sensitivity readers at my publisher saying, oh, well, you can't say this. And it was in one scene, one of the boys was calling another boy a word that begins with P because he was being the word that began with a P. And they said, well, you can't do that because you can't equate women's sexual organs with weakness because someone might find that offensive. I said,
but kids call each other that.
Have you talked to a 17-year-old boy? Have you? I had a bunch of them on the train behind me today. And trust me, I heard that word. And I thought it was very strange instead of making that like a teachable moment. Call him that, but hey, you know what? That's not cool because of this. They're like, oh, you just want to do away with that. So I think the young adult world is doing a lot to protect kids in ways that I'm not 100% sure they need to be protected, which is why I may need to go back to my wheelhouse of getting drunk in the pool and then writing about
maybe, it. Maybe. Did sensitivity readers even exist a couple of years ago, or is that a new profession?
I'm pretty sure it's new. I have no idea what they were doing before.
I
don't know, but it is amazing that they can find instances everywhere, and yet we live in a society where that Dove ad came out over the weekend where a woman uses Dove soap and she turns herself from brown to white.
Yeah.
They've since apologized.
But still, thankfully, it's so upsetting that it got to that stage where they actually made a commercial and nobody said, hey, this is going to offend some people.
I propose we take a few of the YA sensitivity readers and have them work in advertising. I think that would work out better for everybody.
When I was a young adult and I was reading Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, and books like that, I kind of was more drawn to it if there was a little risque stuff.
Right. It's not that they will avoid that. It is really about politically correctness. I mean, there's sex, there's drugs, there's drinking, but you can't say something that would be offensive to someone, which I think is odd. And again, my generation probably ruined it because we kind of ruined a lot of things. So maybe this is the backlash and we will eventually find good middle ground.
Can't you find something in almost any piece of literature that's ever been written that could potentially offend somebody?
Absolutely.
It could, right?
Yes. Yes. But the young adult world has a very dedicated social media following.
Sure.
So they're the ones who are really putting it out there, like what you can and can't say. One of my friends wrote a book about her daughter's eating disorder.
Yeah.
And she got attacked by a lot of these young adult people saying, well, you don't have firsthand experience with it. Well, it was her daughter. She wrote the checks for the rehab facility. They're like, well, you can't possibly know. And that was a little bit odd to me.
So do you then, if you get a note from your publisher or your editor saying, look, you got to take this out or change this or change this, do you battle that a little bit and say, I'm worried about the reality of the moment, I want it to sound real? Or do you just say, well, they're in charge, I guess?
There were some battles that I fought because I thought that they were important. And there were some, like there are words now that I didn't know you can't use. You can't use the word gypsy anymore because I was describing a girl with a lot of bracelets. That's really, really offensive. And that's me being like a big ignorant boar. Yeah. And I didn't know that. So when they pointed stuff out like that, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I don't want to take people out of the story because I've used the wrong words.
Right, right, right. That makes sense.
We were talking to you off the air. I did watch 13 Reasons Why because I have two teenage boys, 14 and 18. Oddly enough, they didn't watch it, but I wanted to be prepared in case they did. And what I will tell you is it opened up a dialogue. They had questions about suicide. This book covers it and gives warning signs and is really helpful.
Right, right. And that was the most important thing for me. And I followed all of the World Health Organization's guidelines for writing about suicide. I didn't make things salacious. And I explained a lot of the why behind. I mean, for example, what bothered me in the movie or in the Netflix show 13 Reasons Why is they left the girl's locker decorated for weeks and weeks. You leave that up for 2 days, then it's gone because it's a trigger for those who were friends with her. And it starts people thinking, those who didn't know her, it begins to put it on.
Look
the
at all the attention she's getting. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it was one of the best books I've ever read, like top five favorite things I have ever read. But I couldn't get past the first 20 minutes, I think, because I had been so involved in the culture of suicide and how to prevent it, that it bothered me that they were doing things that I thought were kind of dangerous. But it started conversations, which is the most important thing.
That is. You have done it right. It's called The Gatekeepers. Young adult, what age does that cover?
I would say anybody from 13 and up. 70% of all young adult books are purchased by adults. So it's
for themselves or is
for themselves.
Yeah, for themselves.
Right.
I want to read this
because it used to be called just teenage readers or something along those lines, right? But now it's
there
not.
Wasn't the genre that exists now that it didn't used to exist like that. I mean, Judy Blume wrote 20 books, but
right.
I was a big reader. That was a week of reading for me. I mean, I could blow through mm-hmm. books. So when I was 13, I started reading like Stephen King because there weren't any more young adult books left in my library.
Right.
So, I mean, I grew up having to sleep with the nightlight on because Stephen King at 13 will mess you up.
Even at 45, it might too.
Is there another one coming down the pike? Do you have number 16 already planned out?
I don't know what I'm going to do next.
Yeah.
I have ideas for young adult. I need to live some more of my life before I do another memoir.
Yeah.
I also have fiction, and I've been doing a decent amount of screenwriting. I've been doing a lot of meetings in LA, so we'll see.
Oh, good.
I'll be doing something.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure what.
Well, keep us posted, please.
Thank you.
It's always fun to talk to you. It's Jen Lancaster. And again, the book is called The Gatekeepers. It's available now. Pick it up for yourself or somebody that you like or love. Thanks so much, Jen. Appreciate it.
Big fan.
Thank you.
JenLancaster.com.
All right, quick break. Some news is next. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy and I have more gas in our tank. If you want to listen to us for another hour, you can. Just join us on the stream for the bonus hour or stay here and enjoy the Wintrust Business Lunch with
Steve. There are about 61,000 Korean-Americans living in Chicago, and they eat.
They will be your guest?
They will. They're going to come into the studio. I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent.
H-Mart is a Korean-American, a Korean-Asian. Do you know
I've
it?
I've been there,
Do you
yeah.
know it? Okay.
I love it.
Well, they're going to open one in Greektown.
Oh, are they? Yeah.
So we'll talk to Andrew Herman about that, about openings and closings.
Is it Arlington Heights? Is that where the other one is?
I think there's one in Niles. They have four in the suburbs. It's kind of funny that it's an Asian-American grocery store. They've got four in the suburbs, but none in the city. So
you
this will
feel
be the
like
first.
You're in Asia when you're in there.
I've never even heard of it.
You can buy all kinds of fish balls and stuff like that, like big variety.
Everything.